Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is our promise, our guarantee, and our assurance that the Lord will in fact work all things out for our good, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from Romans chapter 8. We'll read verses 28 through 32. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not, with Him, also freely give us all things? These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in Your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Everything's going to be all right. You've probably heard that phrase or a similar phrase spoken to you at times in your life, words meant to be a comfort to you. Maybe it was your mother or your father wiping away your tears after having a bad dream, assuring you everything's going to be all right, just go back to sleep, and they tuck you back into bed. Maybe it was a grandparent scooping you up off the playground, off the ground of the playground, helping you as you've scraped your knee, assuring you everything's going to be all right. What about later in life? What about as you've grown into adulthood? Would you say that there are times in your adult life that you've probably longed to hear those words even a little more than you did when you were a child? Everything is going to be all right. Oftentimes as adults, however, we face fears and problems, things of such an overwhelming nature that maybe pale in comparison, or that things like a scraped knee or a bad dream just pale in comparison. And hearing a phrase or a word of comfort like everything is going to be all right just doesn't bring as much comfort to our hearts as maybe it used to. Maybe if it's a particularly devastating tragedy or sad event in our life, such as a sickness or debilitating illness, or maybe the loss of a loved one, somehow someone coming to us and saying to us, everything's going to be all right, just doesn't seem to cut it. Those words don't take away the sorrow. They don't take away the loneliness. They don't take away the pain that comes with such a loss. But what if God Himself were to speak those words to us? What if our almighty, all-loving Heavenly Father were to wrap us in His arms and say to us, everything is going to be all right? Wouldn't those words bring our adult-sized hearts the adult-sized comfort that we need for our adult-sized problems? Well, I have good news for you this morning, fellow Christians. God has, in fact, essentially said those very things to you. He said it very clearly, actually, in many places in the Scriptures, but probably none so clearly as our verse from Scripture today. From Romans 8, 28, where He says to us, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. Those words should end all doubts and all fears, all anxieties, and all apprehensions we've ever had. God promises to work all things out for our good. He's essentially taking us in His arms and through His words telling us everything is going to be all right. We know that promise from Scripture, probably known it from little on. We've been reminded of that promise of Scripture over and over again throughout our lives. So why don't we always have that peace and comfort that we long for in our hearts? Why do doubts and fears and anxieties often get a hold of us? Sometimes to the detriment not just of our emotional or spiritual health, sometimes even to the detriment of our physical health. Well, the answer for anyone who's ever taken a breath of life in this world is the fact that we are simply not perfect. We still have that self-destructive, sinful flesh inside of us that will find every reason to doubt, find every reason to distrust God and His promises. So maybe we don't always have the peace and the comfort that we long for because our flesh causes us to doubt whether God really is, in fact, working all things together for good. And when we look at our lives, or look at the lives of the people around us, or look at the world around us, we can see very quickly why those thoughts or why distrust or doubt would pop up into our hearts and minds. Diseases, sicknesses, injuries, death, addictions, broken lives, broken homes, broken hearts, financial troubles, economic crises, crime, tragedies, terrorism, and wars. And as we watch events like this weekend where you see the tragedies and the racism and violence that happens in Virginia, and as we await what's going to happen with countries like North Korea and the nuclear threat they pose, these things are around us daily. They can cause us to fear, cause us to doubt, and wonder if God is in fact able to make all things work together for good. Or if He is in fact able, maybe He just doesn't really want to do it. Well, we know by faith that God is able to make all things work together for good. And He's doing it for each one of us, individually, as a family, and as a congregation, and even as a group of congregations, as the entire Church of Christ on this earth. He is working all things out for our good, even as we speak. What we have to realize as we look inside of us, and as we look at the world around us, is first and foremost that we live in a world that is fallen. A world that is full of sin because mankind gave into the deception of the devil in the beginning of the Garden of Eden. And secondly, what we have to realize is that even in its fallen state, our God is so great that He's even able to work true good from every evil that Satan has worked in this world. And I say true good because oftentimes the things that God allows or the things that God uses are not always things that we would call good in and of themselves. We as human beings are not always interested or most concerned about our spiritual or eternal good. But God is. He always is. That's why one of the key phrases in this verse is the last phrase in this verse. He works this good to those who are called, those who are believers, who have faith in Him, according to His purpose. Not according to our purpose or my purpose or your purpose, but according to His purpose. What we must also realize is that we don't always have all the information. We don't always have all the wisdom to determine what is truly good for us, or what is truly good for Christ's church in general, or even what is truly good for the entire world for that matter. But don't worry, God does. And He's the one that matters. He does have all the information. He is all-knowing. And He has all wisdom to determine what is truly best for us and for all believers in Christ. He reminded us of this fact in our Old Testament reading from Isaiah when He said, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God is also so powerful that He can put His good plans into action for us, despite what the world around us, despite what our sinful flesh inside of us, and even despite what Satan himself might try to do to the contrary. Even take an extreme example of something that is bad. Take the example of death. Death is no doubt a bad thing. In fact, we can think of it sometimes as the worst thing that can happen to a person. And it is, in fact, a bad thing. It was not part of God's original creation. It's a terrible, unnatural thing that happened to this world because of sin. And yet God is so gracious, and He is so powerful and so good that He can take something as horrible as our own death and turn it into the greatest good for a believer. He did that very thing with His own Son's death. Think of how horrible and terrible and tragic that was. And that was made into the gift of salvation for us by using that death to take away all of our sins. And so through that death of Christ, through His resurrection, God has turned death, that worst thing, into the very gate of eternal life for a believer. I've often said that for the believer, the day of your death will be the greatest day of your life. You can think of it this way too. Think of someone that you've lost, a loved one that you've lost, who was a believer in Jesus. I've recently lost a family member, an aunt. Think of if you could ask them right now, would you like to trade places with me? What would they respond? What would they answer with? They would say, no way. God has truly worked this out for my eternal and spiritual good. But one other reason our flesh may cause us to doubt this promise of God, that all things work together for good to those who love God, is because sometimes in our moments of weakness, we may question whether those last words of that phrase actually apply to us. When we take a quick and honest inventory of our thoughts and our actions, we would probably come up with some good reasons to doubt whether we are, in fact, those who love God. And if we really don't love God, then how can we be sure that His promise to work all things out for good is actually going to apply to me or to you? When those doubts start to fill your heart or your mind, that's when we need to stop taking inventory inside ourselves or looking inside of ourselves and look outside ourselves. Look to the cross and look to what God says and see for a fact that these words do apply to you. He reminds us in this text that we came to love God and to believe in His Son Jesus not because we wanted it badly enough, not because of some effort on our part or something that we did to welcome Him into our hearts. No, rather, Paul tells us that God called to us. God called us to love Him and believe in Him and to gain salvation from His Son Jesus. He called us to this, as Paul says, before even the world began. Before He even said, let there be, He called us to be His own. Listen again to the way Paul speaks in verses 29 and 30 of our text. He says, for whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. From eternity, from before time even began, God foreknew us. And the Greek word that's used there shows us that God didn't just know us from eternity, He knew us intimately. He didn't just know who you were or that you would exist, He knew everything about you. Paul tells us that we are predestined to be His own from eternity as well. And in time, then, He used His Holy Spirit to call us to faith in His Son Jesus, so that the justification He won for us on the cross, that great not guilty verdict, you are innocent in God's eyes, would be given to you and me. It would be made our own. But did you also notice something strange about the last word that Paul uses? The fact that He justified us, he says, these He also glorified. He doesn't use a future tense, he actually uses a past tense. So as fully forgiven and justified sinners and believers in Christ, we are sharing in that glory of God right now. Now we'll experience it in its fullest state in heaven, but in God's eyes, since we have been predestined and called and justified, in His eyes, we are as good as glorified. It's as good as done. Believe it. That is God's eternal way of saying to us, everything is going to be all right. He's done absolutely everything necessary to earn, to secure, and to keep us in that salvation forever. So how should we respond to all this, these things that we've been reminded of, or things that maybe we've heard for the first time today? How should we respond to all of this? Well, coincidentally, the Apostle Paul asked that exact question. He says, what shall we say to all these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not, with him, also freely give us all things? How are we to respond to all that our Savior God has done for us? Respond with confident faith that has no fear. What is it that you are facing right now? What is it that you're not just facing, but what is it that you are fearing right now? God has promised to work all things together for your good. That promise is for you. That promise is for me. Believe it. God has proved it and guaranteed it by sending his son Jesus to take the punishment for all your sins. All of your sins. Each and every one of them. To take all of your guilt, your shame, and nail it to the cross. If he loves you enough to sacrifice his son for you on that horrible cross and go through hell so that you would receive heaven, is he not going to take care of all the other worries and cares and concerns, the doubts and fears that we are facing? And the answer, of course, is yes. If he loved us enough to take care of our greatest problem of sin, death, and hell, how will he not take care of our lesser problems as well? Our everyday problems, our cares, those concerns that we have in this life that loom so large. He will. So take some time today, maybe during the worship service on a blank part of the bulletin, maybe during the offering as music is playing, to write down some of the things that you are facing in your life right now, some of the things that are making you fearful. And then meditate on the words from our sermon text. Just a few verses. Read through them again. Take to heart that message and the words and promises from your God. Those are words that Jesus has spoken to you. All those things that you write down and more, Jesus will work out for your good. Hear his words and believe them. Everything is going to be all right. In fact, everything is going to be more than just all right. Jesus has promised that it is going to be good in this life and the next. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.